fantasy football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
We're here to help you win your league and have bragging rights on your friends.
Let's go.
Now, here's Adam, Dave, and Jamie.
Well, I'm not going to lie to you, people. This is the most excited I've been for a podcast in a long time. I thought last night's draft was amazing, and I usually don't even like the NFL draft. But welcome to our Friday show here, recapping day one. Don't forget to watch CBSSports.com or on our app or any streaming device. We are live with coverage throughout the entire NFL draft, not just draft coverage, but also fantasy analysis. I'm Adam Azer. Hello, Jamie Eisenberg. Agree with
Hello.
Me?
Hello.
Yeah.
New Cleveland Browns fan.
Adam Njoku Azer. No, don't even bring that up. That was my least favorite part of the draft.
Can I tell you, first off, I was so we did our draft show last night,
mm-hmm.
and I was sitting in the newsroom for anybody that saw it, and there it was our video area. So if you did see the show, all the guys that were sitting around me are the guys who edit our videos. They post them to the site. It's a whole team of people, and one of the guys is a Giants fan. And so he's watching the draft unfold. He's like, wow, we're going to get O.J. Howard. And I said, well, I don't know if he's going to get past Tennessee or Tampa Bay. They were 18-19. They were rumored to be interested in him. As we know, he went 19. Then he's like, wow, we still got a shot at Ryan Ramczyk. And I said, yeah, Ryan Ramczyk would make sense. Maybe David Njoku. I know a guy that does our podcast. He's a big Canes guy, big Giants fan. He's hoping for David Njoku. Ramczyk would make a lot of sense. Yeah, neither one happened.
No. But you know what? I don't want to make this. If you follow me on Twitter, you got enough Giants talk. So I don't want to make this about that or about me. I was obviously a little personally disappointed because everybody knows how much I love Njoku. And not only was I disappointed about him not going to my team, but I was disappointed about him going to the Browns because I have no interest in David Njoku now, at least not this year. So, we're going to talk more about some tight ends. I got bold predictions for you. We got winners and losers, not just the rookies, but the veterans, and a bunch of really interesting stats. How about this? In the last 6 years, there were a total of 11 running backs and wide receivers drafted in the first 10 picks. Actually, I think there's only 10, and I included Odell Beckham, who was 12th in there. So top 10 picks, there were 10 running backs and wide receivers in the past 6 years. This year there were 5, and we had 7 offensive players taken in the top 10. It was really awesome. Jamie, you just told me a cool quarterback note off the air about the 3 quarterbacks who were taken.
Yes, it is. This is according to Adam Schefter. Since 1967, which is considered the common draft era, the first time that 3 different teams traded up on draft day to draft a quarterback in the first round.
That's pretty cool. It was really a wild draft with 6 trades, by the way, made on the first day of the draft. And thank you to all of you who sent in your submissions for the podcast league. I will try to get to them over the weekend. Had several hundred, so thank you so much. All right, give me a couple of winners, veterans, NFL veterans, not rookies. Give me a couple of winners based on round one of the NFL draft.
I'll give you more than a couple. I'll rattle a few names for you. So 3 quarterbacks. I think you look at Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota, Philip Rivers,
mm-hmm.
and 1 receiver, DeAndre Hopkins. All winners from what happened in the first round.
Ooh, why Hopkins?
He gets potentially an upgraded quarterback.
Okay, so for the record, none of the 3 quarterbacks selected in the first round right now are starters. They said Tom Savage is going to be their starter.
Yes.
You know, so at least not week one.
Of all the teams that traded up for a quarterback, they are the one that are most likely to start one of the 3 guys on, to start the season at some point early in the season.
Okay. So,
I mean, just think about recent history. The Eagles, we're not starting Carson Wentz. They make the trade of Sam Bradford.
Sure.
Wentz is the starter. The Jags are not starting Blake Bortles by week 3. He's their starter.
Sure.
You know, I mean, it just makes a lot of sense when you don't have a guy. Now, you obviously the Chiefs are in a different situation because they have a guy. They're a Super Bowl caliber team, whether you think they are or not. They are. That's a team that's not going to bench Alex Smith, barring him, you know, pooping the bed.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bears, you can maybe see Trubisky starting at some point during the season, but he's not starting week 1. They wouldn't have paid Mike Glennon what they paid him.
You know, I look at Deshaun Watson and the career he had, and I want to say, how could this guy be so good in college, win the national championship, just, you know, have such a decorated career and not be a good pro? But it just doesn't work like that, you know? Matt Leinart, Vince Young, but just doesn't work like that. Like, I wanna believe in Deshaun Watson now with the Texans. And I'm not saying I don't, but unfortunately, college track record is not necessarily the best indicator. Now, college experience is very important, and Mitchell Trubisky starting only 1 year is obviously a concern, so I think him getting thrown into the fire might not be a great idea for the Bears.
There was a lot of talk last night about, you know, just in terms of Watson coming in and learning what, you know, is considered to be a complicated system for Bill O'Brien. How many starts did Brock Osweiler have in the NFL before he took over as a starter?
Seven? Two?
Seven?
Oh, he had seven?
Yeah, he started seven games, I believe, when Peyton Manning got hurt.
Oh, that many. Okay.
It was, as far as I could tell, seven, but still, a handful of starts. So sure. It's not like he walked in with a wealth of experience taking over that system.
And he stunk, though.
but that's, I think, more to him.
Yeah, maybe. All right. Yeah, I got so much I want to talk about. Give me some losers, some NFL veteran losers from yesterday.
Well, I think any running back in Jacksonville is obvious. Jonathan Stewart is obvious. Cameron Brate, I think, is a loser just because, you know, he may have a good role to a certain degree this year, but O.J. Howard's going to, you know, take away a ton of opportunities for him, and rightfully so. Those guys are losers. I don't like the situation in Los Angeles with the Chargers. It just didn't make sense
to me.
What was that?
Oh, I didn't like that.
Now, you know, you can look at it and say a couple things. Keenan Allen clearly has had a hard time staying healthy. You know, he had the foot injury coming into the NFL. He had the kidney injury. He had the knee injury last year. He signed, I believe, until 2020 or 2021. So he's going to be part of this roster to a certain extent if he's healthy, you know, for another couple of years. This could be a more of an indication of what they think of Tyrell Williams, because keep in mind it was a different coaching staff that worked with him last year and saw him turn to this, you know, breakout receiver, NFL and fantasy. It's never a bad idea to add weapons, but for a team that needed so many holes filled defensively, it just didn't make sense with all these stud defensive players on the board.
Absolutely, yeah.
That they were to go and add essentially a luxury position. And I kind of feel the same thing about the Bengals with adding John Ross. But in terms of loser, Tyrell Williams, I think, is a loser.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's well documented how highly we think of Tyrell Williams, and when he gets drafted, it always seems like he's the best value, you know, in like the seventh or eighth round of a 12-team league. But this changes things with Mike Williams from Clemson, 6'4", 218-pound wide receiver. Pete Prisco, by the way, gave that a C-, one of the worst grades he gave in the first round. He also gave two running backs in the top eight Ds because he doesn't like taking running backs early. But it's possible, certainly, that they would have taken Jamal Adams if the Jets hadn't taken him sixth, but the Chargers go with offense there. I want to read something from the Los Angeles Daily News writer Jack Wong or Wang, not sure, sorry how to pronounce that. He says, Williams' arrival then serves two functions. If Allen is healthy, they could form a dangerous duo. If he isn't, Williams could inherit the role of number one receiver. So I don't know if they're viewing it that way. Also noted in the article that Tyrell Williams and Dontrell Inman were unrestricted free agents. This guy's the number seven overall pick. Look, if he is just going to get that opportunity to be the number one or number two receiver, let's say number two, as long as Allen's healthy, then Mike Williams becomes pretty interesting in San Diego, no?
For sure. You know, and the easy comparison to look at it like this, and I don't know if it's fair, but you just have to, you know, kind of take a step back. So you see Corey Davis go to the Titans. This is not a pass-heavy offense, as we're all well aware. You know, they want to be this ground-and-pound situation, but his opportunity seems to be the best. So you look at last year. What would kind of be the similar situation? Maybe Corey Coleman, first receiver drafted, guy that steps into a situation, going to play a lot, but the quarterback situation's not fair to say it's the same, but, you know, a quarterback situation, maybe the detractor there, where there's the offensive system's a detractor there. Well, where did Michael Thomas go? Michael Thomas went to a team with a great quarterback in a system that throws the ball a lot, and it was a crowded wide receiver core, right?
Yeah.
What's Mike Williams stepping into?
Yeah.
Team that throws the ball a lot, crowded wide receiver core. You know, maybe we overestimated what Kobe Fleener could do.
Yeah.
We didn't really think that, we thought maybe Willie Snead would be a little bit more involved, and he took a step back when he got the toe injury and Michael Thomas stepped up. So again, I don't want to say it's the same thing because it's not, but he's stepping into a situation where you just, you know, laid out a scenario of if Keenan Allen's not right, and I think he said he's 85% right now, he could be the best receiver on their roster. So, I think I probably had a little bit too much, for anybody to follow me on Twitter last night, a little bit too much of a gut reaction of, oh, Mike Williams is going to be bad in Los Angeles. He may be better off, than we're probably giving credit for.
Well, the other issue with Mike Williams is that he might be a little slow. He doesn't get the separation, and that's not based on his 40 time, but Pete Prisco isn't a huge fan for what that's worth, and he doesn't get the separation. So it's also going to depend just on the player and how good he is. You mentioned Michael Thomas. The comparison that I thought of, I didn't think of Michael Thomas, but the one I thought of was Philip Dorsett, which we knew right out of the gate. That was a bad first round pick by the Colts, and it has proved to be that the case, but he wasn't the number 7 overall pick. And
I think the thing with Dorsett was, though, if you recall, there T.Y. Hilton was obviously established, and they still had both tight ends, which is similar to what Los Angeles has. They still have the two tight ends. But they also had, remember, they signed Andre Johnson in the offseason, and at the time they had signed, who didn't turn out to develop into anything, but Daron Carter, Chris Carter's son, mm-hmm. who was coming off of a very big CFL season. And then they still had Dante Moncrief, who was coming off of, you know, his rookie campaign. So there was even more of a red flag situation from that, because Dorsett had proven to be kind of a one-trick pony, you know, just a guy that can get up and down the field, whereas Mike Williams is not that type of guy, as you just alluded to.
Sure. Okay, now I want to make a point about the top 10 picks, right? Because I said that in the past 6 seasons, we had 11 wide receivers plus running backs taken in the top 12, including Beckham. 10 taken in the top 10, wide receivers plus running backs, and we had 5 yesterday. There's a great track record here, especially the 3 running backs who've been taken in the top 10. Trent Richardson was the number 9 running back when he was a top, was he the 4th pick, whatever it was, 2nd pick. Todd Gurley was the number 5 running back in 13 games, and Ezekiel Elliott was the number 2 running back. So all 3 top 10 running backs in the NFL draft in the last 6 years, before yesterday, finished as a top 9 fantasy running back in their rookie season. Wide receiver pretty good too. You go back 6 years, that was Julio Jones and AJ Green. Julio was 18th in 2011 in 13 games. AJ Green was 14th. Actually, I think he was probably a little bit lower. Some of the players who have retired, like, aren't in the database. I think they were around 18th and 20th, but they were top 20. Justin Blackmon was 30th. Tavon Austin was a huge bust. Sammy Watkins, Odell Beckham, Amari Cooper. Basically this, 5 of the 8 wide receivers were top 24 wide receivers in their rookie seasons. 5 of the 8 top 10 draft pick wide receivers were top 24 in fantasy as rookies. One was top 30. One was Tavon Austin, a total bust. The other was Kevin White, who didn't play. So it's really 5 of 7 that finished as top 24 wide receivers, and then Justin Blackmon, who was top 30, and Tavon Austin, who was a bust. So Jamie, I mean, that's really interesting. That's a great track record of top 10 picks being very valuable in fantasy.
Yeah, I think if you're going to look at it, you'd say Davis has a shot. Mike Williams has a shot. I don't see it with John Ross.
Yeah, I didn't love that pick. But
I didn't either.
It's interesting. I think Dalton is a winner here. I think Dalton becomes a pretty fascinating player. Like, he had a bad year, but Dalton had the 10th most passing yards in the NFL. He only threw 18 touchdown passes. The year before, he was definitely worth starting. So
lost AJ Green for essentially 7 games.
He did, and we know their offensive line isn't going to be as good.
Right, they lose Whitworth, they lose Zeitler.
But look, if John Ross is the fastest player, he's a Bengal now. He went 9th overall. He's fastest player in the draft, 4.2240. Major injury concerns. That's why Jason LaCanfora said that he might not go in the first round because of injury concerns. He went 9th. He was surprisingly good in the red zone in college, which is nice to see because, you know, 18 touchdowns for Dalton. Got to improve that. And I don't know, what is his role? Because they re-signed LaFell. They've got Boyd for the slot. Ross was a guy who lined up all over the field in college. You know, what kind of role do you see him playing as a rookie?
I mean, he's going to be on the field. You know, I don't think they're going to necessarily take LaFell off the field. So it really comes at the expense of probably Tyler Boyd, which again is odd because they invested, a second round pick in Boyd last year. So, I mean, he's going to be a guy that helps them in the return game. You know, so he's going to fill a couple roles for them. It's hard to say that it's a bad pick when you look at what he can do. If he's right, if he's, you know, if his speed translates. I mean, forget about the off-field stuff. Where would you think Tyreek Hill would have been drafted last year, knowing what you know now about the impact that he would have had? He would have been a top 10 pick. You know, so it's easy to say that you're trying to catch that type of player, lightning in a bottle, and that he becomes an impact player. So you're right, Dalton wins. I still like to see how this offensive line looks, because I think for Ross to be successful, Dalton's going to need time. You're also counting on, you know, AJ Green to still be the guy that he's been, and he's been, you know, I just did this yesterday for the story that I'm writing. Every time he's had over 170 targets, he's been a monster. And I mean, that goes without saying because he's a great player, but, you got to figure he's going to be in that range again. He was on pace for that last year. So if Tyler Eifert's healthy, AJ Green's getting the targets that he's getting, and then you're talking about Ross trying to fit in with those other two guys, you know, it's going to be tough for him, I think, to be fantasy relevant. He reminds me a lot of, like, you know, Will Fuller. You know, he'll have a lot of big plays, but a lot of disappointments.
So what is the lead to your NFL draft story? The most important thing, that something you're most excited about after the NFL draft? Round one.
You're assuming I wrote one. I wrote two separate pieces on just receivers, running backs.
Yeah, I mean, like, what is the hypothetical big takeaway? And we don't even have Dalvin Cook or Joe Mixon off the board, and the Packers are sitting there. They're going to take one of these guys, you'd think.
Yeah, I hope it's Dalvin Cook. The biggest takeaway, I think, is, you know, fantasy-wise, probably going to be who's the better of the two out of Leonard Fournette and Christian McCaffrey.
What do you think?
I mean, you know, looking at the two of them, you would say Fournette, just because he's going to be, you know, physical between the tackles, runner, and score touchdowns.
Oh, God, I'm so excited about this draft. Like, I just love it. We have so much great stuff to talk about, and we're going to get to that in a second. Look, Myles Garrett was the number one pick of the NFL draft. Blue Apron is the number one fresh ingredient and delivery service in the country, and that's even better. Take that, Myles Garrett. Look, Blue Apron's mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. You want some free food that happens to be delicious? Do this. Go to blueapron.com/fantasyfootball. blueapron.com/fantasyfootball. Let me just go off script here and speak from the heart and tell you honestly why I really do love Blue Apron. I never liked cooking. I had no interest. I didn't eat healthy, and, you know, not enough vegetables. I ate the same old crap all the time. And now I honestly, like, after over a year of Blue Apron, I'm almost a different person. I love cooking. I love all the variety I have in my diet. So many creative meals, pizza and chicken and pork. And last night we had like a Greek beef pita type of thing. I feel better. I lost weight. I love Blue Apron. I just told a friend 2 days ago to start using Blue Apron. And of course I told him, you want three free meals? You go to blueapron.com/fantasyfootball. Three free meals and free shipping. blueapron.com/fantasyfootball. It's affordable. It's easy. It's delicious. Get delivered right to your door. blueapron.com/fantasyfootball. I don't know if I'm crazy here, Jamie, but I don't love the landing spot for Christian McCaffrey. They've never had a player like him, and I just don't know. First of all, I don't know where he's going to play. None of us quite do. But Cam Newton dumping the ball off to a running back, it just doesn't happen, other than his rookie year. I took a look at the most catches by a running back in the Cam Newton era. In 2011, his rookie year, Jonathan Stewart had 47. Since then, no running back has had more than 27 catches on the Panthers. Obviously, we're dealing with a much better pass catcher here in Christian McCaffrey. But I don't know. It's like, I just, like, if Christian McCaffrey had gone to the Chiefs, we'd be doing backflips. We know what that type of player can do in that system. There's a little bit of mystery here with the Panthers, and it's not exactly where I wanted to see McCaffrey go.
No, but you did illustrate, you know, a scenario of what running backs do when they're drafted in the top 10. You know that they're going to make an investment in him to get a good workload, if not a significant workload. I think you look at the touchdowns. That's, I think, where, you know, Jonathan Stewart is still going to have, probably a prominent role. And I think they still like him. Otherwise, why would they have extended his contract, at his age? But I think the biggest thing is they've never had a guy like this. Like you said, you know, their best pass catcher, you can argue, in the Cam Newton era was Mike Tolbert. And so, you know, Christian McCaffrey is certainly a much more skilled player in that regard. So I think this move is to, you know, go back to the things we talked about coming off of the owners meetings. Ron Rivera saying we have to make things easier on Cam Newton. Well, what's the best way to do that? Give him a short little outlet guy. Can have, you know, these little outlet passes and make things easier on his completion percentage. Get some chunk plays out of it. Get McCaffrey out in space and see what, you know, he can do, because he seems to be an electric type of player. Again, you know, going back to the John Ross conversation, he fills two roles because he could play in the return game. So I think it's interesting. It's not, I agree with you, it's not the most ideal fit for him, but before we kind of write it off and say, you know, good player, bad fit, I think we have to see how it all works out, because it's a situation where, like, you know, Fournette's coming into Jacksonville and he's just all of a sudden kicking Chris Ivory to the curb. And, you know, TJ Yeldon can still kind of play on passing downs. With McCaffrey, it's not like he walks into a situation where, he's got to move people around. He can work with Jonathan Stewart. He can still get 15 touches a game. He could still be very good in those 15 touches. So, you know, we talk about Danny Woodhead and what he's been for fantasy and Darren Sproles and kind of what he's been. I think this is, you know, magnified. This to me feels like it could be Woodhead when he was healthy with San Diego, Sproles when he was healthy with New Orleans. And, you know, it's not going to be probably the most solidified. Okay, I know this guy every week's going to get me this, but I'm still going to start him every week because he could get me this.
So who are you going to, which running back for Carolina are you going to rank higher?
Oh, McCaffrey. Easy.
Even in standard?
Yeah, just because of the injury concerns with Stewart. I mean, he hasn't been able to finish years. It just makes more sense.
Sure. And
just to give you an idea, I haven't done mine yet. I just got into the office from working till 2 a.m. last night. Heath has already updated his rankings. I can give you his running back rankings because I looked.
Okay.
So he's got Fournette at 14, McCaffrey at 15, and the guys he has behind him are Rob Kelly, who may or may not still face some competition, Mark Ingram, who we know is getting competition, Tevin Coleman, Spencer Ware, C.J. Anderson. Now, looking at it, I'm going to probably put Fournette in the same range. I'll probably actually put him at 13 ahead of Ingram just because of what's going on now in New Orleans. McCaffrey's not going to be as high for me. You know, once we get through the draft, I'll probably still take Anderson and Crowell and probably Spencer Ware ahead of him, but 17, 18 is where he's going to probably end up.
I don't want to make too much of the stat I gave about all the running backs, the last three that went in the top 10, all being top 9 fantasy in their rookie year, but that is giving me a little bit more hope for Leonard Fournette. Because like we talked about with the second and third round picks, you know, it's a matter of how invested the teams are in these guys. Obviously, Jacksonville's going to be quite invested. You know, look, I have the same concerns that, and I don't want to make it out like I'm a scout or anything, but that, you know, we had Dane Brugler on, and he talked about how Fournette, he had like him fourth or fifth in his running back rankings based on talent alone. Because, you know, he's worried about him being explosive, and I am too, and the offensive line hasn't been good for Jacksonville, and, oh, by the way, his schedule could be awful. Awful. I looked at Leonard Fournette. Look at this. This sucks. Based on last year and fantasy points allowed to running backs, Houston was 18th. But I suspect that Houston will be better than that defensively with a healthy J.J. Watt. So he starts at Houston. Second game for Jacksonville was home against Tennessee. They actually allowed the fewest fantasy points to running backs last year. Now, I think a lot of that was teams threw all over them. So they just didn't run that much. They allowed 4 yards per carry as a team. So that'll probably, no, they won't be quite as good. The third week is Baltimore at home. Baltimore, good run defense always. And sixth best against running backs. Then at the Jets, could be a great run defense. Then at Pittsburgh, we expected them to be a great run defense. They had some injuries and they weren't. Then the Rams. So between Houston, Tennessee, Baltimore, the Jets, the Steelers, and the Rams in their first six games, like, I'm counting five teams that I expect to have a good run defense there.
It's not ideal. But I want to just check something here. I believe Jacksonville picks, what, third or fourth in the second round?
I got the draft tracker up right now. They have the third pick. And there are some good offensive linemen. Well,
yeah, I was just going to tell you, what if they get Robinson or Lamp?
But, well, I'm not going to care. I'll tell you why I'm not going to care. Because there are so many NFL teams that need offensive linemen and didn't take them in the first round. Only two went. This was the latest an offensive lineman has gone in like the modern era of the NFL draft, whatever that is. So I'm just going to consider these guys as not that good and at least not going to make a big impact.
Yeah, but the draft was weird last night with certain things. There were a couple cornerbacks that went too soon. The fact that, you know, Foster fell to 31, I mean, you know, that was odd. You know, who knows if his shoulder injury is really that bad or it was the diluted sample.
And the fact that he was like, do you know who the hell I am or whatever at the combine. You know, he's got some off-field issues, Reuben Foster. But that was, I mean, John Lynch, the new general manager for the Niners, said with the second pick, well, he traded down to three. With the third pick and the 31st pick, he got Solomon Thomas and Reuben Foster, two of their top three players. And GMs say that crap all the time, but that actually might be true. Like, these are very
high. Oh, you want to talk about great rookie performances. John Lynch crushed it.
Yeah, he looks like he absolutely nailed it. Yeah, so I think the Jaguars make sense, Jamie, to take an offensive lineman. Who knows what kind of impact it will have. But I think there obviously are concerns about Fournette just because the running game has been so bad for Jacksonville for the last 2 years. However, he's got a chance to finish top 10, no doubt. He's going to be like 13 for you?
Yeah. You know, the passing game is obviously something that's an issue with him. I think he's got 41 career catches over 3 years at LSU. And the one thing I went back and looked at, though, last night, remember Chris Ivory had a little bit of stretch where he started to play better and we were looking at him as a decent fantasy option?
Yeah.
He had six games, I think, with double digits in carries last year. And in three of those, he got you double digits in fantasy points. So if they give a guy work, their defense is going to be better. You know, people look at it and say, oh, they're going to be chasing points. Not with this defense. Not anymore.
Yeah.
You want to talk about great defense. They added A.J. Bouye. They added Barry Church. They added Calais Campbell. They still have Miles Jack developing. They kept Paul Posluszny. They have Jalen Ramsey. There are a lot of nice young players on this defense that if they start to come to fruition, especially with the additions that they made, they're going to be in some tight ball games. And what do you see from teams in tight ball games? They can run the ball. So this was a big move for them. It should help Blake Bortles. You know, you want to talk about a guy that's a winner. You know, not the same as what Dallas did last year with Ezekiel Elliott, but good running game can help a struggling quarterback. By the way, just a little bit of news that just happened, which may or may not sway you a little bit, Adam David Njoku Azer. The Browns have cut Gary Barnidge.
I mean, look, I love Njoku. I didn't really think he was going to have a great rookie year because he is a little raw. And honestly, we just don't get a lot of good performances from rookie tight ends. Hunter Henry was very good, but it was mostly touchdowns. But I'm sorry, I just didn't want to see him land in Cleveland.
Right.
And I applaud Cleveland if they didn't like the tight end, if they didn't like the quarterbacks in the draft, then don't take one or take one later. But I don't know. I think it's a while before there's a good passing game in Cleveland, and I think it sucks for Njoku.
The interesting thing, two things to note about that. One, in terms of Njoku, I was sitting in our draft area. We had three different sets. My set was basically me by myself. But in the same room was John Beeson, former University of Miami linebacker. And we were talking about Cleveland's situation. And he said something in regard to, I forget which player it was, but he's like, yeah, you know, Cleveland's kind of turned into this place where obviously a lot of players don't materialize into superstars, you know, especially like the skill players. And then when Njoku went there, he was like, oh, just crushed.
And it's deflating. It's just not a good fit for him. And I believe strongly in him. And it's funny, like, I'm last night just devastated because I didn't really want the Giants to take a tight end. I thought it was a stupid pick. But if they were going to take a tight end, take the one I like. And I don't know
anything. Ingram's supposed to be a better blocker, though. That could help.
No, Ingram, no. Like, Ingram is a slot receiver. That's what I keep reading, that he barely plays tight end. And
I thought everybody last night was saying he's a good blocker.
No, not really. Okay. That's not what I've seen. Well, Jerry Reese said he didn't think any of the tight ends in this class were good blockers. So that's Giants GM.
Well, probably the top three.
Yeah. That's probably what he meant. Howard has the best reputation right now, but Ingram apparently is basically a wide receiver, and I don't know how he fits. I think that maybe Ingram could have the most difference in dynasty value versus seasonal value, because maybe Marshall's only there for 1 year. Like, nobody expects anything from Ingram this year, right?
Fantasy-wise?
Yeah, fantasy-wise.
No.
But maybe if Marshall's gone after 1 year, maybe Ingram is a good tight end in year two and going forward. It was a weird pick. It felt like the Mike Williams pick. I don't know, man. The Giants have enough receivers. That was a strange pick to me.
You would have rather see them go Ramchick.
No, I wanted them to take a defensive back, honestly, a cornerback kind of for the future. Or a defensive end or something like that, but.
Why would they, really?
Yeah, cause I.
With Eli Apple last year?
Yeah, I think Dominic Roger-Cromartie probably has one good year left, if that. So this is Giants-y, but I understand they wanted to go best player available. And if you don't like the offensive lineman, don't take an offensive lineman. But I just didn't think tight end was a good fit there. So let's go through the draft a little bit more.
Well, yeah, just to circle back though real quick, the other thing I was going to bring up, Pete Prisco at the owners meetings talked to Hugh Jackson about the quarterback class next year.
Yeah.
And so think about what the Browns did a year ago. Hugh Jackson said his guy was Cody Kessler, who looks like he's going to be the starter for them this year. And if he believes Cody Kessler could be the bridge quarterback until they get to, you know, whoever they're looking at next year, then that's what they're probably going to end up doing.
All right, you know what? Maybe let's soften it a little bit on Njoku and the Browns. They have five picks in the first two rounds next year. Two in the first, three in the second. They can, and they're probably going to have a high pick to begin with. they can get whoever they want with that ammo. So if there's an amazing quarterback coming out that's Andrew Luck quality, then maybe things turn around. Maybe the Browns are 1 year away from having their franchise player, and maybe things turn around pretty quickly for them. I think they did a nice job yesterday. Okay, that's it. So before we get into all the picks and get Jamie's reaction, Sportsline is a really cool website. I want you to go there, sportsline.com. Now, usually we charge $99.99 for a year to get picks on like everything. And we have Vegas experts and simulation models that do a great job. But right now we have a limited time offer, sportsline.com, $49.99 for a year. One more week, you got that, through the Kentucky Derby. Members get Derby picks from Jody Demling, who's a horse racing guru. He has nailed the last 7 Derby winners. That's an exclusive thing. Sportsline.com. You get MLB picks from Stephen O. He's on fire. Mike McClure's WOBA model is getting hot. And Larry Hartstein's been killing it with NBA playoff picks. He's plus $2,000 on NBA picks. So Sportsline.com, $49.99 for a year. Sorry, Jamie, I'm kind of all over the place because I had so many things I wanted to talk about. Maybe we should just go through pick by pick here.
Whatever you want, man.
Myles Garrett, number one. Cool. We like it, right?
Yep.
All right, the Bears trade up, and they give a lot. They send the number 3 pick to San Francisco, plus a 3rd and a 4th round pick this year, and a 3rd round pick next year, and they draft Mitchell Trubisky. What'd you think?
A little torn on it because I'm of the belief that if you don't have your quarterback, you do whatever you can to get one. So if you believe that Trubisky is the guy, and you think that he could be the guy that makes a difference for your franchise, you give up everything. Yeah, you give up your whole draft if you have to. But it just seemed a little odd that they were 1 pick away. Maybe yeah. Cleveland was making the move to go get Trubisky. Maybe there was another team trying to get up there to get him, you know, Houston or whoever, Kansas City, you know, the two teams that made the trade. It just seemed like they gave up a little bit after signing Glennon. You know, the whole thing just doesn't feel right. But if he turns out to be the guy, you pay whatever you got to pay to get him.
I picked a random draft. I think it was like 2011 because I was on that page doing that top 10 research. And I said, let's see who went in the 3rd and 4th round, because they gave up 2 3rd round picks and a 4th round pick to move up one spot. A lot of crappy players going in the 3rd and 4th round. A lot of good ones too. Like, but more misses than hits. So if Trubisky's good, it's fine. If Trubisky's bad, it looks terrible. The Niners trade down, get those extra picks. They used one of them to move into the 1st round and get Reuben Foster, and they took Solomon Thomas, who took a class at Stanford with John Lynch when John Lynch was going back to get his degree. So kind of interesting stuff there. Leonard Fournette goes to Jacksonville, and Jamie's going to put him in the top 15. Corey Davis goes to Tennessee, the most prolific wide receiver in college football history, in FBS history. And Prisco loves him. He said before the draft started, he was his number one receiver, and he loved the pick. Well, he loved him going before Mike Williams. He thought maybe he's a little too high at 5, I think. But who, by the way, as of right now, is your top-ranked rookie wide receiver? When you do your
Corey Davis.
Davis?
Okay. Yeah. Again, see what happens over the next few days, but I think these three guys were the three highest-rated guys going into the draft. It's clear that they were the only three drafted in the 1st round. It's going to be hard to find you have a good player, plays right away, not a lot of competition for targets. Should be a good situation for Davis.
Corey Davis or Kelvin Benjamin? What do you think?
Oh, still Benjamin.
Okay.
The interesting one for me is Corey Davis or Rashard Matthews.
Because I think I'd go Corey Davis.
Huh?
I think I'd go Corey Davis.
I would too, but it's, you know, it's like we continue to write off Rashard Matthews. He was good for that stretch with the Dolphins when they had nobody, and he you know, before he got hurt. He was good last year with the Titans once he said, give me the ball. Why'd you sign me if you're not going to give me the ball?
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to have any sort of bias after we talked to him, because he was a good, you know, good interview and was nice to us.
He was awesome.
But, yeah, this is a clear indication that they're trying to upgrade that spot.
And it's good news for Mariota, obviously, like we talked about. Okay.
Here, while we're on the topic, you could keep moving on, but I'll tell you where Heath has these guys ranked.
Oh, yeah, hit me with it.
I have to get there
first. Oh, okay, sorry.
Go to the next defensive
Next, it's number 6 overall. The Jets took what everybody seems to agree was a good pick. Jamal Adams, a safety from LSU. Mike Williams to Clemson. Christian McCaffrey to Carolina. John Ross to Washington. Just wild stuff. No, from Washington to Cincinnati. And Patrick Mahomes to Texas Tech. No. What the hell's the matter with me? To Kansas City. From Texas Tech. So the Chiefs trade up, and they, once again, another team that gave up a lot. The Chiefs move up, giving up a 2018 first round pick and a third round pick to move up and get, and also obviously their first round pick this year to get, Patrick Mahomes at number 10. And look, I honestly did watch you and the gang for a while on CBSSports.com, but at one point I had to start doing my fantasy baseball notes, and that's when I put ESPN on, and John Gruden was talking about how he was with Andy Reid when they were working together. They drafted Brett Favre, who he compared to Patrick Mahomes, and he just kind of knew Reid, this was a guy that Andy Reid would like. So, yeah, that's interesting. Who, dynasty leagues, which quarterback are you taking first?
I'd probably still take Watson just because I think his path to playing is right there. You know, he could play this year and help you out right away. Whereas I don't think Mahomes or Trubisky is going to play right away in their rookie seasons. But long term, yeah, Mahomes, I think he's got the chance to be the best one of this class just based on his measurables. You know, big arm. I believe his third down efficiency in college was very good. That's something that a lot of talent evaluators just listening to it, you know, they seem to be fond of. And so he could easily be the best guy. But as we've seen, is it Alex Smith in this system or is it the system has changed? You know, because Andy Reid with Donovan McNabb was very good. Donovan McNabb was a great fantasy quarterback, but Alex Smith clearly is not.
Patrick Mahomes, Sherlock Mahomes, team name?
So just to give you an idea, Heath has Corey Davis ranked 28th. I don't necessarily agree with a couple of Heath's receiver rankings. Like he has Randall Cobb at 27. He's got Emmanuel Sanders at 25. He's got DeSean Jackson at 23. Not to pick apart Heath's rankings, but I don't know if those guys should be that high. So Corey Davis at 28 is what he is, and he has Mike Williams at 30.
Heath is going to move those guys down, I bet. Heath is really inundated with baseball right now, so I bet when he looks a little further into it, he'll make some changes. Mike Williams, 30, Corey Davis, 28. Okay, those guys, top 30 receivers, which five of the last seven top 10 wide receivers have finished their rookie years as top 30.
And to answer your question, Heath has both of those guys ahead of Kelvin Benjamin, who he has at 32.
He doesn't like Kelvin. He never liked Kelvin.
No.
And he has him one spot ahead of Tyreek Hill, 31.
Yes.
Okay. Would you rather have Mike Williams of the Los Angeles Chargers or J.J. Nelson?
J.J. Nelson.
Okay. Let's go back to the draft. We've gotten to the top 10 here with Mahomes going to the Chiefs. Marshawn Lattimore, cornerback, goes to Ohio's, goes to the Saints. look, the Ohio State guys had some injury concerns. They fell. The Alabama guys fell. I think Jonathan Allen at 17, I was ready to throw something at the TV. I was pretty mad about that. That was an excellent pick. Hassan Reddick. Oh, no, we had Deshaun Watson going 12th to the Texans. Temple linebacker Hassan Reddick goes to the Cardinals. The Eagles took Derek Barnett, defensive end out of Tennessee. It's easier for me to say the NFL team first, and then, you know, this way I won't make the same mistake. Ohio State free safety Malik Hooker goes to Indianapolis. Marlon Humphrey, cornerback at Alabama, goes to Baltimore. Jonathan Allen, who a lot of people had as a top five talent, top five pick, falls to 17, goes to the Redskins. He has some shoulder issues, but yeah, looks like a good gamble. Adoree Jackson to Tennessee. Now, people thought Tennessee might take a cornerback with their first pick when they took Corey Davis 5th. Instead, they waited. They take Adoree Jackson 18th. And now we get a few more offensive players off the board. O.J. Howard. All right, here's a bold prediction for you. O.J. Howard goes 19th overall to Alabama. We will have zero rookie tight ends in the top 12 at the end of 2017.
That's bold? I thought you were going to say he was going to be a top 12 tight end.
Oh, you don't think we will?
No.
Okay.
Now again, we've talked about this a lot. Jameis Winston's track record going back to FSU with tight ends has been very good. I believe it's something like he's around 20 of his touchdowns out of, I think, 50 in the NFL have gone to his tight ends.
Wow.
Cameron Brate was top 10 tight end last
year.
So Howard could be.
He was number 6. I feel bad for Cameron Brate. What's he got to do?
He's got to be better than O.J. Howard. Prove it.
Yeah, but but obviously, like, the two of them, it's probably going to be like a Gates. Would you think year one it's like a Gates-Henry situation?
If that's the case, then fantasy owners are going to love O.J. Howard.
Well, I'm not saying production wise. I'm saying they're both going to play. They're both going to, you know, vulture each other a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, if you're the Bucks and you want your best players on the field, Evans on one side, Jackson on the other, two tight end set, give more protection to Jameis as well. Yeah. All systems go.
20th pick was the first offensive lineman off the board, Garrett Bowles. He is 25 years old, and he's got an adorable son, as we now know.
Oh, yeah, he stole the draft.
Right? That was awesome. Jared Davis from Florida going to the Lions. He's an inside linebacker. The Dolphins took Charles Harris, defensive end out of Missouri. The Giants took Evan Ingram. So, look, Rivers upgrade, Dalton upgrade. Bold prediction, Eli Manning. Better year than Dak Prescott. What do you think?
Could happen. I mean, Dak's a potential regression candidate based on his limited interceptions. But we've seen now when healthy quarterback that's talented behind that offensive line since they rebuilt it in 2014. Romo was great that year. Romo breaks his collarbone, in 2015. He's done. Team is not so great. They bring in Dak Prescott last year. Very similar season to Tony Romo from the 2014 campaign. So they'll be close. I mean, Eli prior to last year was 4,430 touchdowns each of the two previous seasons under McAdoo. So with the addition of Marshall, with the addition of Ingram, with Odell and Sterling Shepard.
Sleeper.
As good a receiving core as you could find.
He's a sleeper, and I'll tell you why. Because in those first two seasons under McAdoo, you know, he basically was kind of like Dak Prescott, you know, like right around eighth overall at quarterback. And even though I expect Prescott to be a more efficient quarterback than Eli Manning, I think the Giants are going to throw the ball so many more times than the Cowboys. It would not surprise me at all if Eli Manning is a top eight quarterback again. Like he was right around there. Like 2015.
He was seven each of the previous two seasons.
Okay, there you go. 2014, Manning scored 342 fantasy points. He scored 369 in 2015. And Dak Prescott in 2016 scored less than that. He scored 329. So just keep it in mind. Eli's a sleeper, I think.
Yeah, but here's the thing, which is great about waiting on a quarterback. I'll say there's five elite guys in Rodgers, Brady, Luck, Breeze, and Matt Ryan. You got to get Matt Ryan in that category now based on how he performed last year. Mm-hmm. Maybe he drops off a smidge, but I think he's worth taking in the top five of the position. 6 through 15, essentially. You know, now that you give Andy Dalton a little bit of a boost, Carson Wentz could sneak into there with the additions that they made. Carson Wentz last year, we've talked about this a lot. When Lane Johnson was healthy, he played six games. Four of those, Carson Wentz had over 20 fantasy points.
Right.
Now he has weapons.
I think they were 5-1 or they were 4-2.
I'm not sure.
They were very good.
You have Jameis getting better. You have Mariota getting better. You have Eli getting better, Rivers getting better, just in terms of weapons around these guys. Russell Wilson will be better now that he's healthy. Cam now gets another weapon, and hopefully he's okay from the shoulder injury. It's just so many talented players at the position. And then you discount guys because it's just going to happen, the nature of it. Carson Palmer, who finished the season very strong. If he starts off the way that he finished, he's going to be great. Who knows what Blake Bortles can do after what, you know, he showed after getting Doug Marrone as his head coach and moving some guys around and just changing the offense a little bit. Plus, he has a run game now. So it's really in your best interest that if you get good value for one of those top five guys, take it. But you don't have to reach for a quarterback at all. There's so many good guys that you can get later or even two that can still be very good for your fantasy team.
Yeah, the Eagles, by the way, were 5-1 with Lane Johnson, and their one loss was a one-point loss to Detroit. If Derek Barnett makes an impact as a rookie, their defensive end that they took 14th overall, I mean, this team, bringing in Alshon Jeffrey, Torrey Smith, like, they could, they could go to, like, the NFC Championship game. They're a sleeper. I'm not going to say they can go to the Super Bowl, but they are dangerous. Or they can
do better. It's a much better division than it was a couple years ago.
It is a very good division. All right, what do you think about Garrett Bowles going to the Broncos? Does that do anything for you?
They had a need. Certainly helps whoever the quarterback's going to be there. I think I said it on our last podcast. I'll say it again. Hopefully it's Paxton Lynch because there's more upside there. We saw the Trevor Siemian show a year ago. It is what it is. But it's a good thing for C.J. Anderson.
Evan Ingram to the Giants at 23 was the next offensive pick. Does every pass catcher in that offense lose value with the addition of Evan Ingram?
Not Beckham, but you know, when you start to look at it, okay.
Shepard, I think, might.
Shepard's already was already a loser from
but
the
even
Marshall.
More now.
Yeah. But you know, you start to look at the top of the receiver list. I don't think Antonio Brown's been impacted this offseason. His numbers were actually better when Martavis Bryant was on the field, so we didn't even mention that, Bryant. Did we talk about that on the last show?
No. Yeah, we mentioned it briefly. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So no, I don't think we did. There was a chance he was going to be reinstated. It was official. So he's back.
Okay. We did not mention that. Yeah.
So, you know, his numbers were better. Brown's numbers were better when Bryant was on the field, but I don't think he's impacted. Julio had no addition, so he should be fine. Then you start getting three through whatever. Beckham got a guy, you know, now two guys to compete with. AJ Green got a guy to compete with. Mike Evans got, you know, two guys this offseason to compete with. Mm-hmm. So, you know, do you go with, I know you probably would, Jordy Nelson, who, I just did this yesterday. Since 2011, he's had three seasons with Aaron Rodgers. He's finished 1-1-3 in terms of fantasy production when both guys have played 16 games.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Like,
but he's also the oldest of the group up top.
Yeah,
so
I don't think he's old though. No. I would probably take him as my number four wide receiver.
So you still take Beckham ahead of him?
I almost feel like I have to, you know? not because it's a Giants thing or anything, but who isn't taking Beckham over Jordy Nelson?
Like, yeah, but then I don't know why you would say the same thing about Evans, who was just as good as Jordy last year and still could be great as an ascending player.
It just seems like everyone sort of acknowledges that Brown, Julio, and Beckham are the three best wide receivers in football right now. Oh, you know what? AJ Green might be four.
AJ Green, if he had not gotten hurt, if he had stayed on the projection of what he was doing, would have had 170 catches for like 1,700 yards. It would have blown away the field in terms of catches and yards.
Honestly, with Beckham, he got so many double teams last year, and I do think that all the additions, I generally don't like additions. I do think there's a chance they help him in this case, but now it's so many. Mostly, I really just don't think Evan Engram is going to play that big of a role as a rookie. That's kind of how it shakes out there. But I do think because he'll be similar to Shepard, it's not a good thing. Gerrion Conley to Oakland, they get a cornerback who fell. There is risk there. Jabril Peppers, one of the more interesting picks, goes to Cleveland at 25. Huge upside. He's a safety as of now. The Falcons
could be the quarterback.
Yeah. They already had Terrell Pryor. Now they have Peppers. The Falcons trade up to get to Karest McKinley, linebacker from UCLA.
Pass rusher. Smart.
And Prisco gives it an A. The Bills, with the pick they got from Kansas City, take Tre'Davious White, LSU cornerback. Taco Charlton, defensive end from Michigan, goes to the Cowboys at 28. Njoku to the Browns at 29. TJ Watt, JJ's brother, he goes to the Steelers, 30th overall outside linebacker from Wisconsin. JJ Watt said that TJ better at this age than JJ was. And Reuben Foster to San Francisco. It was awesome. And Ryan Ramczyk, last pick of the first round, goes to the Saints. He may not play. He might be a backup as a rookie. Might be a backup.
Or they can move him to guard.
Yeah. So I don't know that this has a huge impact, Jamie, but it's always good to see an investment in the offensive line.
Can I give you a fun Beckham stat? Because I've been doing this Elite 8 wide receiver story.
Yeah.
He's played 26 games in November, December, and January in the regular season in his career.
He's played how many?
26.
Okay.
In 21 of those, he hit double digits in fantasy points in the standard league. And he's averaging 16.4 fantasy points in a standard league over that span.
Which months? The last three?
November, December, and January. I think it's only one January game, but
so the last 2 months? Yeah, basically. He's a strong finisher, no doubt.
Yes.
That's interesting, though. I do think there's a chance that he's not a top five wide receiver. You know?
But still
great. Still great. You're going to have a lot of great receivers.
Well, we're having, we can't really talk about this draft for a while, but it's for our magazine on Monday, and I pick sixth, which is, if things go as they probably will, three running backs, three receivers, I'm looking at Beckham.
It's standard scoring.
Standard scoring.
Yeah.
So you figure the first three are going to be some run. Mm. Bell, Johnson, and Zeke, you have the first pick, so you have to make that choice.
You should be, oh, I'm taking Zeke, I'll tell you right now. You should, you should take Green Bay Packers running back Dalvin Cook.
I hope that happens. I'm not going to do that, but I hope that happens because that would give us three really good running backs in the top 20 to choose from.
I'm not sure I'm down with Fournette over Ingram just yet. Is that a tough one for you? You said you were going to put Fournette over Ingram, but that can't be an easy call. Because you yourself said you're not really counting on much from Peterson.
No, but you have to factor in if Peterson does stay healthy.
Yeah.
I'm not factoring Chris Ivory. Like, I would take the chances on Peterson ruining Ingram more so than Ivory ruining Fournette.
Let me read some quotes. Tell me who said this. All right? Who said this? Let me just get the quotes. Quotes. Where the heck are you? Jamie, what did you do with my notes? Okay, who said this? Quote, I love the way he competes. Oh, by the way, these are all either coaches or GMs talking about a first round pick. So why not, instead of who said it, who do they say it about? That'll be easier for you. I love the way he competes. I love all his intangibles. You just can't have enough good players. We'll definitely find a role for him. That was a head coach talking about his first round pick.
That was a head coach talking about anybody in NFL history. That's the most cliche-driven quote you could ever find.
Well, obviously, they're all skill position players.
Ron Rivera about Christian McCaffrey.
This is Anthony Lynn on Mike Williams.
Okay.
Who, yeah, they said he was the number one player on their board at the time. All right, fine. How about this one? This one's a little better.
Okay.
The fastest way to the end zone is down the middle of the field.
This is Dirk Cutter about O.J. Howard.
Close. This is Ben McAdoo on Evan Ingram.
Okay.
Here's one about a running back. Quote, the best tackle box runner I've ever seen is Curtis Martin when he came out of Pitt. And the guy we drafted, paraphrasing, is right there with him. I mean, running in that tackle box takes unique vision and unique foot quickness. He's got it.
Yeah, I saw this quote. I believe it's Dave Gettleman on Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, it is. Kind of interesting. Gettleman sort of poo-pooed the idea that McCaffrey's not durable. He's 5'11". He's 202 pounds. Look, he's used as a returner, and Christian McCaffrey's position coach at Stanford is now the wide receiver coach with Carolina. So that's pretty interesting. But, yeah, like, the way, I don't know, like, 12 carries a game over under Christian McCaffrey.
Push.
Okay. Last quote. That's what you like about him. He's a big physical player. This division will be a physical division, and we have to match the other team's intensity.
Tom Coughlin on Leonard Fournette.
Yeah, it's their GM, Dave Caldwell, on Leonard Fournette. Yeah. Woo, was that fun? What a freaking draft. Loved it. And it's only going to get better because Joe Mixon and Dalvin Cook are going to come off the board. The Packers have the first pick of round two, followed by the Seahawks. And by the way,
okay, so you're calling Dalvin Cook. Let's call your shots here. So we know what's happened in the first round. Rest of the draft, you got six more rounds to play with.
Okay, so I have to pick the rest of it right now.
Guys, I would say would be Cook, Mixon,
yeah,
Kamara,
yeah,
Kamara. However you pronounce it,
I think Mara.
Right. Then you got. I mean, there's going to be some sleeper options: Jamal Williams, Kareem Hunt, James Conner, you know, some of these running backs where they end up.
But let's just say the
main three that people thought could be potential first round picks.
Yeah, Cook and Mixon and Kamara. And who is the one? I think Jamal Williams, I think, was a guy that Ruggler liked. I can't remember.
There are a lot of people in the fantasy community that like Jamal Williams as well.
Okay. And he's a running back out of BYU. So I'll say Dalvin Cook goes with the first pick of round two to the Packers.
Okay.
I really don't know with Joe Mixon. I think he's a second round pick. And let's see. The Jets? Nah. You got any predictions before I make an idiot of myself?
43 to the Eagles.
Yeah. Yeah, that would make sense.
I believe, I don't know if it was Howie Roseman, but I think somebody from Philadelphia said that he'd be a good fit there, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, based on what people are saying, it seems like Joe Mixon would be a good fit anywhere. And then I probably won't get too excited about any wide receiver who is drafted. Curtis.
No, Kamara. Where do you think he goes?
Kamara's a running back. Oh, yeah. Where do I think he goes? Mm-hmm. I think the Jets take a running back. And... a lot of teams are going to take a running back. Who else needs one? Bengals. Bengals, Bengals, Bengals.
I was going to say the Bengals, too. I think the Jets say Kaiser unless somebody trades up.
Yeah, well, look, I don't know that all these guys are going to the second round. I was thinking maybe third round for Kamara, but I really have no idea. So Bengals, Eagles, Packers have three of like the first 12 picks of the second round, and I can see all of them taking running backs. All right, fun stuff. Colts, too.
Yep.
That would be a big boost in value, whoever goes to the Colts.
Yep.
Any final draft thoughts? Non-fantasy teams that impressed you, didn't impress you?
Impressed or didn't impress? I think San Francisco obviously had the best night. And Tennessee, you know, you said it. They were going to potentially take corner first, receiver second. I can't argue with what they did. I don't know if Adoree Jackson's a great player or not, but he feels the need.
And Seattle traded back twice. They dropped down 8 picks. They moved from 26 to 34. But they got an additional 3rd, 4th, and 7th round pick. That's pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Jamie, thank you. This was fun. Monday, we're back with our next podcast to talk about rounds 2 through 7 of the NFL draft. Hope you enjoyed it. Everybody have yourselves a great weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday.
Bye.